Give me more and I'll defy. 'Cause you're really only after 74, 75. Oh, calling Ben on the phone, 'cause that's where Ben is. He's not on the phone. Ben is not on the phone. He answers the phone and then I talk to him. He's not actually on his phone. That would be weird. Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. It was a week of self-discovery, Ben.
Oh god, what, did something happen?
Well, I mean, no and yes. I took a personality test at work, and have I told you about Scientology? And no, I'm kidding. it's a different thing, but it's kind of, have you ever heard of the, I think they're called Enneagrams? Anyway.
Is that like this is the ENFT point. And stuff like that?
No, that's the Myers-Briggs, which is close. This is like 1 through 9, and the numbers linked to a certain personality type and all that.
You're either anyway, you're a 1 through a 9?
A 1 through a 9, and it's not a rank. It's not like 1s are bad and 9s are
right.
good. But the reason it was cool is that the person was like, you seem like a 5 to me. I took the test and I was a 5. And you know my ideas wow. about these tests, right?
What are your ideas about the test?
That they're not magic. They're only good as far as they're good, right?
Yeah.
And so as far as this test goes, it's like, if you take this test, you will be a 5, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're a 5 in your spiritual. I mean, you'll start noticing stuff, right, about yourself,
yeah.
about how it fits in and all that. And the way I describe it is this. These tests, the thinking of I am a 1 through a 9, you know, and out of that I'm a 5, all that kind of stuff, it's all useful because the world is chaos. And this is a prism that you've chosen to view the chaos through.
When you took this test, could you see if it was easily skewable? Like, could you throw the results to a certain number?
Here's the thing. If I... Yes.
Could you do that?
What I'm saying for that is this. I didn't going into the test, right?
Yeah.
But after you take the test, they tell you what types you are and stuff like that. And I could probably throw the test
yeah.
now if I wanted to. and the thing is, and of course, if for whatever reason this becomes law and this is being played in court... For me, I did not throw the test in whatever this courtroom process is for. Because in the future, when I take the test, I will always take it honestly. So if you're my lawyer, play this part. If the prosecution only plays the part that says I can throw the test and then stops it.
You took this test at work. Were you required by your betters at work to take this test?
No. It was a suggestion that someone at work had. They like these tests, so I took them. And I've said this before to you, Ben. I want you to make 2 groups. Oh, wait, Ben, I'm going to have to hang up and call you back. My phone's buzzing again.
It's buzzing?
I'll be right back.
Okay. I'm just going to keep rolling because I think he's just going to keep rolling. And so he's talking on the phone. And he called me a couple minutes early, which was surprising. Caught me off guard.
Calling Ben right now. Hopefully he'll pick up.
Hey.
There's this trumpet-like noise that happens on my phone every once in a while. And
your noise is passing gas.
I think what it is that whatever monitoring software is being used to monitor my phone calls feeds back on itself.
Yeah. I thought you got a phone call or something.
No. I couldn't hear you at all. I mean, it was just this loud,
really
screeching, buzzing, trumpet-like sound. Yeah. It happens occasionally on my phone, like more than
it's, and you're
more
sure,
than a one-time accident.
You're sure that it's spyware and not, say, you set a recurring alarm and forgot about it?
Oh, yeah. It's on the actual audio feed.
Because I think one
of the phone call.
Okay, I'll look forward to listening to it. I think one of the...
No, you won't hear it. That's the thing. You will not hear it.
Oh, it's
because
not...
I'm recording myself through... You might hear a slight thing from my headphones, but I don't think so.
Because one of the alarms, I think, that comes standard on the iPhone is a klaxon.
No. Oh, my gosh. It's happening again. Okay, Ben. I'm gonna take my earphones out and see if I can make the noise.
Okay.
Oh no, it only happens with my... Oh wait, here you go. I'm holding it up to the phone.
It's riveting. I can't hear
anything. I
don't know
if you can hear it.
But maybe hold it up to the recorder.
Yeah, it's actually coming in through the... Okay, well, this will maybe be fun for people, maybe not. I'm going to hang up and call you back
again. For those listening in the future, okay, well, Paul just hung up on me again.
All right, so this is the second time it's happened.
I was in the bathroom.
Ben is probably talking,
thought I
vamping,
had a couple minutes to sit down and,
while
and
I am
get ready
getting
for
my
call,
phone back.
But
to
he
call
was,
him.
Like I said, a couple minutes early.
But just in case he isn't, I'm also
just
filling
launched
time
into
on my end.
Wanted to launch into. I really don't have anything
back
to say.
It normally doesn't happen twice in a row like
or,
that.
Like, I think the same.
Which
really
is
have
odd.
An agenda. Here we go again.
But
hey, Paul.
You know, hey, okay, so...
are you going to need a new phone soon?
No. This has happened on my phones on a constant basis. I will say that it has only started happening... you know, since I moved here to Illinois, I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. But yeah, no, just the, I tried to, so when I it's really loud in the headphones, right?
Right.
When I unplugged the headphones, you could hear it coming out of the speaker just a little bit.
Okay.
And I held it up to it and you might be able to hear it, but imagine it like 50 times louder than you would hear it.
Right. Because it's something,
it's
whatever
deafening.
It is, it's at full volume.
Yeah. And like I said, I really honestly think that they've just got a new person set up monitoring my calls, and they're making the mistake of somehow feeding my audio back into their recording or,
right,
you know, whatever.
It's so hard to get, and it gets so hard to get skilled workers these days because everybody who knows how things work are retiring.
Exactly. It's true. And I'm sure that there's somebody really, hey, look, and you guys don't worry about it. I'm an odd case. Not hardly anybody knows that you're doing this. So don't worry. Give the kid a break. Let him get a sandwich or whatever.
So,
it happens on Jennifer's phone, on her end too sometimes, and always the person on the other end can't hear it.
Yeah, I can't hear
so
anything.
So
when it happens, the only recourse is to hang up.
Yeah. It does not. It usually does not go away.
So it's happened. It's happened twice in the last less than 10 minutes. And,
right, but I will say this, that has hardly ever happened to me. I don't think it has ever happened before. So that's kind of weird.
Crazy.
I might actually do some looking up of that because I don't know exactly why. I'm wondering if it has to do with my carrier or if, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it must be happening to more people than just me. And my wife. But if I had a nickel for any time I said that...
you could make a phone call.
Well, yeah, exactly. Using a standard phone.
Yeah. A pay
phone. So anyway, so that was cool, taking that thing. And then the other thing was I retook my vocal range stuff. Because, all right, if you ever want to have fun, Ben, look on the internet and look up this. Should I include my falsetto when listing my vocal range? And get ready for hours and hours of forum reading that doesn't resolve, really. Because people are divided on it. And I have determined, you know, for my mindset and the kind of person I am, it should not be included when listing your vocal range. Or if you are going to list it, you list a... So basically, like for me, right?
Yeah.
If I were to list my vocal range, I would list G2 through G4. Because that's the range in which I, you know, I almost top out, but I'm pretty comfortable still. G4 is right around where I have to switch to falsetto, right? So then after I switch to falsetto, I can go all the way up to like C5.
Well,
maybe even E5.
If you don't want to list falsetto or shouldn't list falsetto on your vocal range, can you call yourself a countertenor? Like, what's the difference between those two?
Well, okay, so you have a vocal range, right? You have a vocal range. And then you have the classification of you as a singer based on your vocal range, right?
Yeah.
So as an example...
So the countertenor sings in falsetto.
Or doesn't. I mean, there are some people who don't have to switch to that to sing, I think.
So,
I'm thinking specifically of Little Jimmy Scott.
Let's back up. Yep. Why are you listing your vocal range? Are you auditioning for musicals?
I am not auditioning for musicals. What I am doing, however, is... And this is what I mean about self-discovery. I have finally found the... I can never tell what my actual range is because I'm unskilled at figuring it out. And I finally figured out what's been tripping me up. Because when I'm singing, like, well, I can sing this, but then when I try to sing this, I can't sing this. And it's the difference between there's a head voice and a chest voice, and there is also falsetto. And falsetto is not head or chest voice, right? Falsetto is this other thing. So you've got your head voice and you've got your chest voice. I haven't named them, but I know the differences, right? And I've always been like, when I sing like this, I can sing a little bit higher, but it's not my falsetto. Is that my range? It is my range, right? But it's my head voice. Falsetto, you actually switch over. You can tell the difference between it, right?
Yeah.
Does that all make sense? So like, I was confusing, like, my voice range wasn't as wide as I thought it was, right? It's just like, okay, so when I sing, right? That's chest voice. When I sing, I'm not doing it right, Ben. This is my problem. No, but when I sing like, or when I sing, those are the same notes. And that was the thing I couldn't figure out. Is head voice and is chest voice, but they're the same two notes. Just a different quality of what I was singing. And so I thought I had more range, but I didn't. I was just actually switching between my chest and my head voice. And that's why I was like, oh, why can't I hit this note? It's because it's the exact same note that I couldn't hit before. I wasn't singing any higher. I was just singing in a different spot.
And so
resonating
was this,
in a different spot.
Was this a test you took on the internet?
Yes.
So
the test that I took that I did wrong at first was on the internet.
Do you sing into your computer and it tells you what you are?
Well, it's an app actually that I took.
Do you sing into your phone?
Yeah, you sing into your phone. But the problem, and this is again what I was running into. The app, the first app that I got, which I love, it's called Vanido, It tells you where your range is, and it gives you exercises. But I kept on having problems with the exercise. And this is factor two of getting messed up. It recorded my audio, or it recorded my note an octave higher than it should have. And I think it's because I had overtones or something like that. But I could never reach it, and my voice kept cracking. I couldn't understand it. And then I got a different app, and that app was called Vocalist, you know, like a vocalist. And it tells you what note you're singing and uses like a different algorithm so you don't have that octave jump, right? So I was like, aha, these are all the same notes, and hence my problem and my solution. I found out that, you know, I now know what my range is.
So is that the issue between your head and your chest, is that you're like a couple octaves different?
No, it's not. Depending on
what part of your frame you sing from?
Absolutely not. And that's what was happening, was that I was singing the exact same note, but it felt like I was singing lower when I was singing it from my chest voice and singing higher when I was singing from my head voice. But it's the exact same note. So my range is actually just two octaves without going to falsetto. If I go to falsetto, I can go up higher.
Well,
obviously.
Lucky you have a range. I have no singing. This is my singing voice is what you're hearing right now.
Check it out, Ben. I haven't done that thing about Paul reacts to video thing yet.
Yeah.
But I was rooting through my CDs, and I found Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, yeah.
And that, Ben, is my favorite song that we do. And the reason it's my favorite song we do is you and I have equal time on it.
Yeah.
And you started out, and you do great on it. I really like it.
That was a fun. That was also a fun video shoot.
It was a fun video shoot. I think probably my favorite musical thing we did. Even the original stuff. I like the original stuff too, but yeah, just positive and great. And also the fact that that when I was like, let's do this, and we were going through it, and I was like, man, it's so depressing when it's a guy singing it. and then we found out that it was originally recorded by a male singer. Did you know that?
I forgot about that part.
Yeah. So it's a totally different song, you know, in that way. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, yeah, definitely a baritone. But now I know that I don't have to belt stuff out like I have been doing. As a baritone, I can actually sing in my head voice, which is somewhat more pleasant sometimes. Less operatic, more casual, if you will.
Right. So you gotta make sure that whatever venue you're singing in has an amplification system.
Yeah. Well, and of course, any baritones listening to this, or singing coaches, whatever, if I'm totally wrong, I apologize. There's a good chance that somebody listening to this knows more about singing than I do.
I put the Paul back in apologize.
That's right. We're both fake Canadians. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. How about you? What's been going on?
Oh, I gotta tell you, I it's so hard to deal with people.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a fan.
You're probably aware, but your friend and mine, Emmett Montgomery, asked me to perform at Spin the Bottle, which is this Sunday. So you know,
Emmett hosting or?
Well, no, I'm sorry. Gosh darn it,
it's Weird and Awesome.
Weird and Awesome, yeah.
Okay, there we go. I was like, wait a second. Because I could see that. Sort of a lateral move for Evan.
He asked me to
spin
the bottle with Emmett Montgomery. No.
Yeah,
he's like, he wants me to do a show within the show. And so I agreed. And he's like, great. I also asked this other performer to do it. So you two work together. I'm like, okay. So, I'd never met this person, but he friended me on Facebook, and so I started a chat. I'm like, hey, you know, I don't have any ideas yet. This was on a Monday, And yeah. I'm like, I don't have any ideas yet. Let me know if you have something. And radio silence. Didn't hear back from him.
Yeah.
And so I came up with a concept and that night and emailed him the next day. And I'm like, hey, okay, so, you know, here's what I think would be a fun thing to do. And he's like, hey, that's great. And then I'm like, oh, great. So what do you want to do? And let me know if you want to bring anybody else on and blah, blah, blah. And nothing. And it's Thursday.
Oh, no.
I'm starting to get a little nervous because I'm putting together a show. And,
it's this Thursday? Or, I mean, you're saying it's Thursday. You mean right
today
now it's
Thursday.
Is Thursday. And it has, so none of this has happened yet as far as the show goes.
Yeah,
you're in the midst of it.
Right. So the show happens on Sunday. And yeah, so I'm just, you know, I'm chugging along, getting performers and putting a show together. And
I tell you my idea?
What's your idea?
For the show within the show? Okay. And I would love it if this is the same idea that you have. So you have Emmett, right? Because he's still going to be in it, right? You have Emmett call intermission for Weird and Awesome. And then you say, and then as soon as Emmett says that, you come on and say, okay, and that's intermission for Weird and Awesome, the longest running performance in Seattle history. That was Act One. And so you have a program that has every single Weird and Awesome that's ever happened. Listen to this Act One. I just think that would be funny.
What we're doing
as a show within a show. Yeah. Tell me what you're really doing though.
Well, so the concept
spoilers
was,
for, oh no, everybody will have seen
this
it
is,
already. So
yeah,
no spoilers.
The show will have happened by the time this gets online.
Okay.
The show is sort of it's a bizarro world, Weird and Awesome.
Oh, nice.
And so the show normally, the format of the show is normally the first act are people doing things outside of their comfort zones. And the second act is people doing things they're good at. So
yeah.
We're flipping those. So the first act is people doing things they're good at. And the second act is people doing things out of their comfort zones. But where it's going to be, where it's a bizarro world is that in one case, now I have to preface this by giving you some context. Every once in a while, an act drops out. And Emmett, if he needs to fill the time, will go to his Sugar Plum Gary character, which is a character that answers questions about Christmas.
Okay.
He's not
gotcha.
He's not a Satanist. He's a Santanist.
Okay.
And so in my show, Awesome and Weird with Montgomery Emmett, the stand-up at the very end is going to, quote, drop out, and I'm going to have to pull out my standard character, the pig janitor, that answers questions about Halloween.
Nice.
Except the pig janitor, as we know, does not speak.
Doesn't talk.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's basically just, you know, doing that pig janitor thing where a question about Halloween is asked and the pig janitor just stands and stares at them menacingly.
Yes.
You know, for 3 minutes.
Nice.
And so, yeah. And so
that's really good. I like that.
There's there's normally a raffle, you know, during Weird and Awesome. So we're going to have our own raffle. And instead of, you know, giving you things, we just take stuff from you. I need a couple more acts and I'm hoping that this other person, is coming up with something because I'm giving him 3 minutes.
Is this somebody that I know?
No, I don't think it is. I didn't even know who this person was.
Because I will call them from Illinois and say, hey, man, live in Southern Illinois. Get your act together.
Yeah. Friend was
literally. Hey, hold on. That's
get your act together.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is that what it means? Ben.
What's that?
Is that what it means? Get your act together. Is that what it means? Is that where it's from?
Yeah, sure. It comes from the Elizabethan times. And Shakespeare said it first, I believe.
I think it's from vaudeville. I think it's a real thing. So
that's what I'm dealing with right now.
I'm going to suggest, and I know that, you know, you're not, you've already got everything planned and all that kind of stuff, but I really think it would be nice to close out the show with the Pig Jenner destroying something. You know, loud music plays, Pig Jenner destroys something, because right. So that there's a, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, how would I feel if I went to see a show? Because the other option is, of course, you never move, and right. Then everyone just has to file out eventually, which is also good.
Yeah, the problem is we're not the end of the show, we're the top of the second act.
Okay. So,
I mean, I could just stand there as the actual stand-up for that night's show is performing.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's a little too performance-y, even for me.
It could be nice. It could be nice depending on who the stand-up is and how well they deal with change.
Yeah. I got to find, maybe I'll find one of those big red bats and just beat the hell out of something.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Oh, wow. That was a little one. There was a little one this time. And it went away.
It went away.
And it sounded different. It sounded like this. Sort of like that.
So the surveillance op sneezed?
Maybe. I don't know exactly what they're working with, how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Could be a dolphin. You never know. Speaking about that, I am on a different diet again. Have I mentioned that?
Last we spoke about your food, you which was last week, you gave us a rundown of what you were eating.
And it's still the same. I've just updated the percentages a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm eating more protein and less carbohydrates.
Okay.
Because I have a desire. And so by doing this, I've kind of opened myself up to being able to eat other foods again.
Yeah.
Foods that people make and do and all that kind of stuff. Because one of the big things that bums Jennifer out a lot is that she likes to make stuff, but then I'm like, oh, can't eat it because it's got this thing, you know, whatever. And I'll still be like that now, but it'll be different because I'll be like, I can only eat a little bit of it because of that. And only eating a little bit of it is fine, I think. I think that's a big problem that we have in the United States, probably in other places as well. But the idea that, you know, you have to eat all of something when it's presented to you.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's also the problem is when you go out to a restaurant or something, they give you so much food.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Man.
We went to a place that, and for anyone in poverty conditions listening to this, I apologize profusely for this. Please know that we take all the food back and we'll eat for a week off of it.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it still feels weird when you're sitting there not to finish everything.
Yeah.
It's like a mental thing. And I think it comes from, I really think it comes from the Great Depression. That you not only had to clean your plate, but you had to do it partially because during that time anyway, no refrigerators, no freezers.
Right.
That food was going to rot if you didn't eat it. And who knows when you're going to get food next time. Also, anyone living through the Great Depression, I apologize if I've mischaracterized how life was during that time. I'm sure there were happy people in the Great Depression.
Depending on how much money you started out with.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's probably true. Also, I don't know. I'm doing okay. I'm happy enough.
Yeah.
I like to think.
I get self-conscious when I go to a restaurant, and it seems like, you know, the cheaper the food, the more you get, which, I mean, from an economic standpoint is, you know, works out for the better for lower income people because they get more food. But the problem is the more food you get isn't really healthy food.
Right. Like, here's something I was thinking about being hungry, Ben. This is when I switched to one of the things about switching to this diet, I'm eating a lot less. right? But I'm not really getting hungry. And this is what I think it is. I think what I've done is I've reproportioned correctly. So, like, if my brain, right, or my body, whatever, whatever's controlling my gut, whatever's controlling the, hey, let's eat stuff, like, mindset, right?
Yeah.
If it needs, like, 8 grams of protein, and the only thing I'm giving it are Oreo cookies.
Yeah, how much protein's in an Oreo?
It'll probably let me eat way too many Oreos, because it's like, I still haven't gotten what I need.
Right.
Out of this, and so, you know, this, it's this weird kind of paradoxical thing, I think, that now that I'm eating less, because I'm eating, and here's the other thing, right? I was worried that I wouldn't be able to eat well because I wouldn't be able to afford it.
Yeah.
But I'm eating less food, so I'm buying less food so I can spend more on the food that I'm buying. And let me tell you, Ben, the big thing that I'm eating right now, mackerel.
Mackerel. That's a white fish, mackerel. Right?
I guess so, yeah. It comes in cans, much like sardines do.
Ah.
Or tuna fish.
Gotcha, yeah.
But there's this company called Seasons. They make a mackerel in olive oil. And the Seasons mackerel in olive oil are boneless and skinless. And 20 grams of protein per can. And they happen to be on sale at the store that I was at. And the cans last until like 2026 or something. So I just bought tons of cans of mackerel.
That's emergency food right there.
And at the time, I felt bad about it. I'm like, why am I spending so much money? But here's the other thing, right? I haven't bought like any more mackerel.
Do you eat it right out of the tin?
Yeah, I do. I do. There are two basic. There are two basic things.
You do.
Oh no! You can. It's fully cooked. Oh God, is it? Yeah, it is. I had to think about it for a second. But yeah, so you can eat it fully out of the can, or out of the tin. You can do this thing where you put the tin itself in a pan and heat it up in the tin. And then eat it out of the tin. But if you do that, it becomes sort of dangerous because it's all metal and full of oil.
Yeah.
So I suggest not doing it. What I do is I drain it and then I eat it out of the can. The great thing is I've started using a fork instead of just my bare hands. It makes it a lot more...
Classing it up over there.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like a fancy person. I can't believe it.
Oh, look at Mr. Bourgeoisie. He's eating with a fork.
So that, I've started eating cheese again. And I've started eating eggs. And those three things
all
have opened up a whole...
Yeah.
Different level. For, yeah. And again, it's less carbohydrates, more fat and protein.
Yeah.
Which is okay, but I'm not doing keto diet. I don't want to put my body in emergency mode or anything. But I do like the level that I'm at right now. The one thing I can't do is I've done it once and no more. I will not eat two things of herrings back to back.
Two things of herrings?
Yeah, mackerel, sorry. Two things of mackerel back to back. Won't do a back to back mackerel.
White and it's why is that?
It's you get
does it mess with you? Is it gross?
It's just like you're like, oh, this again. Whereas if it's interrupted by something, I was like, and now more mackerel, fine.
You consider it more of a treat than a meal.
It is a meal, definitely. I don't know how to describe it. The only thing I can say is this. So I'm eating, as we've discussed, 4 different meals, right?
Yeah.
Separated by 3 hours. If I just ate mackerel 3 hours ago, and because when I eat mackerel, it kind of... That's like the main thing. It's mackerel and then some fruit.
And you eat maybe the whole a vegetable. Thing. You eat the whole...
eat the whole tin, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a tin. It's like a tin of sardines.
Yeah.
smaller fish. So when I do that, the other thing is I'm not limited to that. I probably am going to get like salmon or whatever. The reason I got the mackerel is because it was on sale.
Right.
And boneless and skinless, which is great. That's what you want.
Here's a question, because I know that when you open up like a tin of sardines or tuna fish, there's a smell associated with it, a really fishy smell.
Yeah. That's still there. That's there. But the oil makes it a little bit less so, I guess. I don't know. Preserves it a little bit. I'm really interested in... okay, so here's the other thing, right? Everything that I'm eating, pretty much, is still kosher. And although I've backed off of that kind of stuff a little bit, it's still in the back of my head, so it makes me feel good. Like there has to be some rule that says it's okay for me to eat something, for whatever reason, right? But the thing is, like next time we go to Seafood City, they have like canned eel, which I'm interested in.
Is the eel but alive?
Not enough. Oh no, it's canned. It's a canned eel, Ben. Can you imagine a living canned eel? Oh my god. Oh, that'd be crazy.
Wouldn't be surprised.
A living canned food. Oh. Is there an animal? Oh gosh. This is something for Jennifer Fact Checker
probably
to look up.
Deep sea fish. Mackerel.
Jennifer,
that's the kind of fish we threw at Joseph many, many years ago.
It was a chub, right? Yeah, that's a mackerel. That's right. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
That was actually part of the video, because you said they called it a chub, and Jennifer, who is operating the camera, says, no, they call it a mackerel.
Yeah. So that's what I'm eating. Hey, look at that. Pretty awesome. So what I was going to say is, this is a message directly to Jennifer Fact Checker. Jennifer, this is probably the most bizarre fact checking you've ever had to do, because there may not be an easy answer. This is a very lateral thinking kind of thing. Is there an animal that you could can and store and have it be alive when you opened it? We can go as far bizarre as we want. You know, animals that maybe normally wouldn't be eaten would fit in this. Just the conditions of life that you would need in order to can it and have it still be alive when you open the can. That's the question.
And
is it possible?
We're talking animals, not like life forms. We're not talking about like bacteria or water.
Tardigrade or whatever. Yeah. All right. Speaking of Jennifer Fact Checker, Ben, are there any corrections for this episode?
There are not. We've received no corrections, which, you know, of course, that tells me we got everything right.
Oh, yes, of course.
And there's no other reason for us not to receive.
Let the listeners know the real reason is Jennifer Fact Checker is off taking care of a sick friend.
Which we discussed last week.
Went through surgery, yeah. And she's not back yet. She will be back by the time this episode airs, hopefully. She took the train there. She's taking the train back. And hopefully, if all goes well, I will have picked her up over the weekend before this airs.
Ah, hopefully.
Her train is supposed to get in at 11:30 p.m.,
into the downtown St. Louis area, or is there a station closer to where you live?
No, it's actually the Alton Transit Center. The Alton Transit Center, which the last time I took the train from Alton, was simply a small box of a building next to some train tracks. It is now a fully functional, pretty nice, like bus depot with you know, a nicer train station and all that. Pretty cool.
I like those train stations. There's, you know, of course, in downtown Seattle, we have the King Street Station, which recently underwent some renovations. And,
oh, really?
You know, it like when things were renovated like back in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. They have the real like sterile, for whatever reason, in the flamboyant 60s, the architecture was sterile for public spaces.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So they've really taken it back to the, at least when I saw it during renovation. I don't know, you know, what it looks like now that it's completed, but it looked like they were taking it back to like the grandeur of the 40s.
Oh wow!
And you know that sort of. So very cool. Yeah, train stations are a lot of fun. There was a there was an Amtrak stop in Olympia that the last time I was there, and it's been 30 years or more since I was there, was exactly the same thing. It was basically a shack on the side of the train tracks, and for whatever reason, the train stopped there. You were lucky if there was a vending machine.
In fact, I went from the Seattle train station that you mentioned to the Alton Transit Center that I mentioned. That was one of my big train trips.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and Ben, I gotta say, if ever I come back to Seattle to visit, most likely it will be on a train.
Yeah, I like train travel. I'm flying down to Oklahoma this summer.
Really?
Yeah, it's my grandmother's 90th birthday. So a bunch of people are going to get together. So I'm flying down with my mom and my sister, actually. And it'll be the first time I've been on a plane probably in over 10 years. I haven't really flown all that often lately. And I tried to avoid it. If I take trips, I like to drive.
Yeah, I like to drive. I like to take a train. You know, here's the other thing, too. Living in the middle of the country, it's a lot easier to drive wherever you're going. But our cars, you know, aren't the best.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it was a thing where Jennifer, you know, was like, can I take the train? And I was like, yeah, you know, in the grand scheme of things, taking a train, when you add up hotel, gas, all that kind of stuff, if you prefer taking a train, that would be great. Especially if you can afford taking a train. We happen to have the money at the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's there are two ways to take the train. You can do what my family did when I was a kid, which is buy the cheap ticket because that's what you can afford and basically spend a week sleeping in your chair. Or you can buy a sleeper car.
And Jennifer, I apologize profusely. We did not have enough money for a sleeper car. Which would have been nice. Betty and I, you've maybe heard this. I know Jennifer's heard this story way too often. In fact, when I told it to her again at the Alton Transit Center, she was like, yes, you've told this to me many times. When we were riding on the train, Betty was about 3, I'd say.
Yeah.
So this would be 10 years ago. The porter said that if Betty didn't stop crying, they were going to kick us off the train.
Kick you off?
Which seems crazy to me.
Hopefully they will have stopped
the
train first.
Oh, yeah. We would have had to deboard at the next station. And luckily, a person next in the car next to us lent us her laptop so that we could play DVDs. That was the thing. The thing that Betty was upset about was that the DVD player that we had brought wasn't working.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't remember how we solved it on the way back, but we did somehow. But yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Sounds like a fun adventure.
Yeah, it was for me. I don't know how much she liked it.
Does she remember it? She probably doesn't remember any of that.
No, we can ask her when it's yelling for Betty time. That might be what would be best to do. Rather than, so Ben, you're not on Instagram.
I am not.
But I posted an Instagram of my my conversation with her. And I'm not going to break our rules, so I'm not going to look up the conversation. But basically, she hates it whenever I use internet slang.
Of course.
And not lots of times I don't know that I'm using internet slang. I just know that I'm imitating her, which is, you know, also something she's not terribly thrilled about. But I did sort of a Henway joke at her.
Henway?
Ben. You know, I would say, Ben, you've got Henway on your shirt.
And I would say, what's Henway?
Oh, I don't know, about 10 pounds. So, that joke,
kind of.
And it was a dumb thing about cleaning the kitchen, cleaning her room or whatever. And it took me a long time because she didn't ask the question at first. I had to reformat it and everything like that in a way for the joke to work. And it did work, right?
Yeah.
But first, when she didn't say what's, blank, I wrote, oof. And she said, never say that again.
You wrote,
so
oof?
We go through it again. Oof. O-O-O-F.
Yeah.
O-O-F.
She didn't like you saying, writing
she
that?
She didn't like me saying it. She was mad at me for saying it.
I don't consider that to be internet slang.
And then I did another thing where I was like, I told the joke. And then she was like, I hate you. And then she said, like, go, I will destroy your f-ing bloodline.
She said
and
that?
I said, yeah, oh, sorry, swearing. Sorry. And I said, you're my bloodline. And she was like, exactly. And I said, oof. And she wrote back in all caps, what did I just say? Exclamation point. She's great. But I had to, it was one of those, I got to share this because my kid's awesome things.
Right.
But I had to really figure out who at work I could share it with. Because I wasn't sure, how they would.
They might look askance. That Midwestern values might look askance at you allowing your child to swear.
Your child not only swear, but swear at you. And here
and
she told you to jump
suicide.
Off a bridge.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But luckily I picked the right people and it all worked out. And endeared myself to some of them, perhaps.
I'm sure you had done that already.
Oh, yeah, of course. Another good thing, I've got a mustache in my official driver's license photo.
Now, if you shave it off, you got to go get a new driver's license.
Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Yeah,
it should be
so.
The law, but... though.
Yeah. You did it. You were the one who did it, buddy. Well, yeah, but then, anytime you get a haircut, all that kind of stuff, it'd be...
I haven't shaved in about a week. I've gotten some stubble going, so yeah. I don't want to live in a world where every time my facial hair changes, I gotta pay $55 for a brand new driver's license.
Oh, Ben, what about this? Obviously, what it is it's an electronic driver's license, and your photo updates every day you have to take a selfie.
Maybe.
Your driver's license is a camera. Hold on. Wait. Okay. Basically, your phone is your driver's license. That's what would happen. Ben.
We're getting to that point.
State-sponsored. Oh, my. Ben. Ben, this is it. We got to call the government. Did you hear that? It just buzzed again. I'm serious.
They hit the record button.
It just did that. No, too late. Oh, wait, maybe that's what it is. Oh my gosh. Yeah, but Ben, this is it. No more driver's licenses. Everybody gets a free smartphone from the government.
Ah.
It's got your GPS in it. It's got your... Yeah. And the camera's always on. Man, okay.
That actually reminds me of a performance art piece. I can't remember if McCandless actually did this or if it was just an idea he had, but this is before cell phones became popular or as widespread as they are. And he was going to put or talked about putting a phone on the sidewalk with a sign that said free calls. But the caveat is all of your calls were going to be recorded and aired on the radio.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, actually. And, yeah, I don't know if it ever happened.
Yeah. Good idea, though.
But, yeah, I like it a lot. So here's the fun plan, though. They give you this free device.
Yeah.
Right? It has wireless charging.
It's not just that they give it to you. You're forced to take it. You have no option.
No. You can not take it if you want to, but you can't drive a car if you don't have one.
There you go.
Stuff like that. Yeah. That sort of thing. Unlimited data, unlimited text, unlimited calling.
Wireless charging.
Oh, I know why they don't do it. Because they don't have to. Because we're already paying to do it. I just realized that this device that I'm thinking of, we already have them. They're already here. The only thing that keeps them from being this thing that I'm imagining is the private company's idea that they won't give the government the information. And they already have in a few cases. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Why give us something for free if you can get us to pay for it ourselves, I guess.
I don't know if, going back on this, I don't know if the daily update selfie for your driver's license works.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's why we would do it.
No, because you know, what if, you know, somebody steals your device, it updates, you know, with that person's face.
Well, obviously, you know,
the phone will recognize it's not you.
Right, exactly. The phone will have facial recognition. So, I mean, you can still hack. Here's the thing. Anything somebody comes up with, the whole concept of hacking, you know, is human ingenuity. So anything one person comes up with, somebody else can figure out a thing to do with it.
Yeah.
At some point in time, hacking may just be destroying stuff, refusing to do things, that kind of thing. So everybody knows what everybody's doing. So all of a sudden, the way that you hack stuff is by protesting and getting thrown in jail. I mean,
so you're not hacking the device necessarily. You're hacking the system.
Yeah. And I'll give you just a really, really quick example. Okay. This is not about my work. I'm just giving an example of a thing that might happen. Let's say that it's just going to take me a second to think of a good example. Okay. Let's say that you live in an apartment building and there's a program that lets you know when a package is downstairs.
Yeah.
And it pings your phone. Lets you know a package is downstairs. Now let's say that the people who get your packages, right, work from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you get a ping that says that your package is downstairs.
It's a long day.
You go downstairs to get it. It's 7 p.m. The door's locked.
Right.
You can't get in.
Yeah.
And I say to you, as the developer of this app, hey, I'm getting a lot of complaints from people that after 7 p.m. they can't pick up their packages. Please fix your program. There's nothing you can do with your program to fix it.
Right.
Because the problem that you're dealing with doesn't have anything to do with your program. That is an example of how hacking will work maybe in the future. Already works. It already works that way. Social engineering, that's exactly what it is.
Also,
you're hacking this stuff that isn't computer stuff.
It just sounds like, you know, modern day bureaucracy. You created this thing. It's a useful tool. People aren't using it. Or there are outside forces that make people use it incorrectly. So fix it.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Fix the, and this goes with a lot of different professions. Hey, we need a new system in place to replace the system that nobody is following.
Right.
That's the problem. Yeah. Speaking of the system that nobody's following.
Okay.
Hey, Betty! Okay, now you got to remind me, what was it that we were going to ask her?
If she remembers the train ride from when she was 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here, Betty. Put this in your ear. Okay, Betty. So, when you were 3, we took a train ride, went to visit Grandma and Grandpa, went to Chicago, went back to Seattle. Do you remember any of it?
Remember going outside and looking at a train?
Going outside of our train and looking at a train?
Yeah.
Or going outside of our train and looking at our... Oh, looking at an older train?
Yeah, one that looked like choo-choo train. Oh. I remember watching Pingu on a CD player. I remember having a dream about a button, and you press the button, and the train would start flying.
Oh, wow.
I remember being stuck on that train for what seemed like forever.
Wow, so that is a lot of stuff. So, yeah, she does remember it.
Wow.
And the Pingu thing happened. That's exactly what I was telling Ben about. And, okay, Betty, I want to let you know something. All of psychologists agree that right now I'm going to be messing with your memory because I'm going to be telling you something about your memory. You're probably going to be incorporating it into your memory even if you don't remember it. We brought a thing along to play Pingu. And it wasn't working, and you were really upset. And the porter, who was a lady, said that she was going to kick us off the train if you didn't stop being upset.
Oh, that sucks.
And so a lady who was next door lent us her laptop so that you could watch Pingu. Let me ask you another question. Do you remember getting snacks?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So, how are things, Betty? What's new? What's been going on?
Oh, I have created a new version of Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, the Batman character, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're mostly used to him being like a stoic robot guy who freezes people.
Right? The Mr. Freeze, the big Mr. Freeze lots of times is... You know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze, the guy on Gotham. It's a big dude lots of times who freezes stuff.
Yeah, well, I made a Mr. Freeze that basically whenever anybody in, like, the city of Gotham mentions anything about ice or being cold, Mr. Freeze just busts down the door and yells something like, "Did somebody say ice?" And he steals everybody's ice.
Yeah.
Because...
Isn't that great? It's my favorite.
And he eats nothing but frozen food, and he treats ice like his children, even though he eats ice sometimes instead of drinking water.
As an example, Betty, as Mr. Freeze, was holding a tray of ice cubes.
Yeah.
And like, treating it as my child.
And she was like, "It's bleeding all over me!"
Oh, jeez.
Which was, yeah, it was pretty great.
When I look back on it, I am laughing, but also regretting all of my life choices.
And then the other thing is that we spoke about Tool.
Some of their videos broke my brain.
Yeah, I subjected Betty to some Tool videos, and boy oh boy,
I don't think I've ever watched a Tool video before.
Oh, Ben, you totally should.
No, I'm probably not gonna.
I've spent about a week. Without Gotham now?
Oh, yeah. She only watches Gotham when Jennifer's around.
Okay.
And I am slowly losing my will to live.
Uh-oh.
She loves the TV show Gotham.
Yeah, it's something to keep me excited every day. Because, you know, Gotham is what makes my life interesting because I'm not really that interested in any other TV shows. And
not even The Terror, which is about a guy trying to find the Northwest Passage and dying. For some reason, this idea doesn't intrigue Betty at all. Can you believe it?
I can't believe any of it. If you had HBO, you could watch Chernobyl, which is what I've been digging on lately.
I don't care about real life things. They make me sad.
Welcome to Earth.
Exactly.
But still, now I don't really have any other entertainment to go by during most hours of the day.
I've been trying to get her to watch Preacher, but she won't do it.
Yeah, because my dad is always hogging the TV.
Oh, come on. I'm gone most of the day.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Oh, that's the other thing is I had to get
Sometimes I don't even... Like, when nobody's around at the house, sometimes I don't even bother doing anything. Because I have no one to talk to. So I just, like, sit in my room all day and watch YouTube.
Hey, welcome to Earth. Again.
My life is very sad.
Bypassed her,
Well, actually, it's mostly very boring because
She's a teen.
Yeah,
can you hear her? She's a total teen.
And I have a cat, but you can't really talk to a cat, so...
Oh, you can talk to a cat.
But they won't understand you, and they don't really watch TV.
Yeah. There's still talk about getting a dog.
Yeah.
There's still...
I'm laying eyes on this one dog named Benson. He's really cute.
Aw, Benson.
But the thing is, I'm... probably gonna rename him Edward for personal reasons.
If you remember correctly, I do not believe we're gonna be able to get Benson. Benson's adoption amount is $350.
I know. I just want to get a boy dog so I can name him Edward.
Yeah. See, if your
for personal
main criteria
reasons.
Is to have it be a boy dog, there I got good news for you. There are tons of them. Oh, and as we discussed, Ben. I believe that if you want a pit bull mix, you can just get one. Like
right.
They'll just
They're
hand
giving
you one.
Them away.
But we're wanting a smaller type dog, probably. Yeah, I'm not gonna ever fight my dog, but I do want a dog that I could beat in a fight if I had to. That's my main role. Oh, Betty's glaring at me now. I'm not gonna fight your dog.
But you'll want to be able to look at your dog and confidently say to yourself, yeah, I can win.
Yeah, but in the same way, you also want a dog who'd be able to beat up a robber. So
although it's kind of hard changing the name of a dog and like, because, you know, they're so used to being called one thing their entire life.
So if
you start calling them another, it's going to take some time for them to realize that you're talking to them.
Is Edward Nigma, is Edward after Edward Nigma?
You found me out!
I found you out.
Yeah, she's...
I have kind of a problem,
only because,
if you couldn't already tell.
Only because I've been paying attention to what you've been saying these last few months.
What can I say? In the show I've been watching, he's effing adorable. What is wrong with me?
Okay, and on that note,
and with
it's
that.
Time to wrap up the show. Ben,
Paul, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, and thank you so much.
I am officially a teenager now.
Yes, Betty is officially a teen.
Although you sound like a emo 20-year-old the way you just sit in your room and watch YouTube, so you got that going for you, which is nice.
But still, because like I'm naming things after my favorite TV show characters. I'm doing nothing for the sake of doing nothing because like I could do things, but I don't want to. And I'm scared of real life, and I'm still getting used to not worrying about school.
Is this summer break already?
Yeah, it's summer break.
There are so many things I could rant about, like so many cute people I could talk about being cute, so many things about real life I'm scared about, and so many things about school I don't like, but like, Dad, I don't have a recorder, and I don't have time to belt out all my feelings in a recorder with somebody else from across the country.
Well, but you, by satellite, are doing that right now.
Indeed.
But we don't really have time for that.
Oh, for a full hour? Yeah.
Yeah,
we're
maybe,
not...
could, maybe we could do one of those things that's like, can you endure a 13-year-old talking about how adorable people from her favorite TV show are? Talking about how much she wants a dog.
That might have to be just a whole show of its own.
Yeah, not just but an episode still, of this show, but you mean an entire show?
A different show, yeah. A whole series on its own.
But still, it's gotten to a point, like, it's gotten to a point that I actually, like, for Easter, I bought myself a little, it's a little stuffed animal penguin, and I named him Oswald. That's how bad it's become. I'm naming stuffed animals after people.
Is that you laughing on the other end there, Ben?
No.
Oh, someone's laughing. It must be the guy who's recording
the guy. Well, we should probably tell that guy that he can go take his lunch break now.
Yeah, go take your break because we're done.
We're wrapping up.
All right, thanks. So, wow, that was we were almost end of the show, and then Betty pulled us back in. All right, so Ben.
Tune in next week to talk about how cute some of the new characters I've discovered are.
That Alrighty. Sounds great. And all of that and more on the next Goody Lawrence podcast with special segment yelling for Betty. Okay, bye.
Keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
Okay, and turn this off. Okay.